I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. I'm betting you've heard this before.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yep, Neil Armstrong stepping onto the moon in 1969 is probably the most famous piece of archival tape about space. My next guests are two musicians who have been thinking a lot about space, especially the space race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. I'm here in the studio with Public Service Broadcasting. That would be the duo made up of J. Will Goose, Esquire, and Wrigglesworth. And safe to say that's not your real names, right, guys?
We can't comment on that.
All right. But let's talk about the process, how you work, because you dig up all this archival sound and film footage, and it's just things that I feel like I've never heard before. So how do you do this? Where do you start?
It's a good question. We've kind of, due to me phoning them up and saying, could we use some of your material in a song of ours, we've got a good relationship now with the BFI, the British Film Institute, which has kind of been ongoing for a while now. They're responsible for supplying all the Russian stuff, which we had on the new record, so they kind of just inherited a whole load of Russian space documentaries, basically, kind of stuff that was shown in British classrooms to sort of get across how amazing the conscious socialist workers were.
Hence, it's in English, right? So you've got this great song about Yuri Gagarin. Well, it's in English, so it's obviously either Russian propaganda specifically for the West. What was it?
Yeah, that's exactly
it.
There's a little bit of Russian in there. I was quite keen to get a bit in there. It starts off with kind of Govorit Moskva, and then there's a bit of his broadcast from space towards the end of that song, kind of masked in amongst other stuff.
This is Moscow. This is Moscow calling. On the 12th of April, the Soviet Union orbited a spaceship around the Earth with a man on board. The astronaut is a Soviet citizen, Major Gagarin Yuri Alexeyevich.
But yeah, it's kind of the English sort of received pronunciation account of Yuri Gagarin's first ever space flight.
With a song you constructed about the Apollo 8 mission, that was the first manned mission to circle around the dark side of the moon and back, the voice of the lead engineer is just clear as a bell.
Apollo Control Houston, 2:50 away from time of LOS now. Our distance away from the moon, 460 nautical miles.
I mean, all I've ever heard of Mission Control in Houston are really scratchy recordings of the lead engineer. How did you get the really good quality?
Yeah, NASA Audio Collection. NASA is just a fantastically open and accessible resource. You know, they seem to have taken the for all mankind kind of mantra really to heart in everything they do, which is great. And you can basically download the entire mission, Apollo 8, and in fact, all of them up to about 16, I think, because they're still digitizing some of them, on just the National Archive website.
Why do you do this? I mean,
so many people ask myself this
every morning, actually.
It's time to take it personally. It started off as just something that was fun. I was just looking for interesting sounding voices that could kind of spruce up otherwise possibly boring instrumental music. And
So do you think of your music as boring and instrumental?
I certainly did. I don't think it's boring. I think the music is quite engaging. It has to be, otherwise, the whole thing wouldn't work. But I don't know. It does lend it a character and a kind of authenticity and a voice that it wouldn't have if it was just purely instrumental. And it gives people a kind of hook to latch onto, that if we were just an instrumental band, I think it would be much harder to do that.
Our distance away from the moon now, 401 nautical miles.
What piece of tape really blew your mind?
The one that kind of gets me every time is when they do reestablish contact with Apollo 8 and it comes around from the dark side of the moon for the first time. And
so dramatic.
And he's desperately trying to keep a lid on it. The kind of PR loop guy is really like, he's trying to stay like very calm and assured and be the voice of authority.
We've had a loss of a signal with Apollo 8 at 68 hours, 58 minutes, 45 seconds. We will watch with continuing interest the AOS clock here in Mission Control.
You can tell it's just underneath, it's kind of bubbling away. He's like, they've got it. And it's just a real, like, sort of fist in the air moment for humanity. And there's not many of them.
Apollo 8, this is Houston. Houston, over.
Roger, Houston, we read you loud and clear. How do you read us?
We've got it. Apollo 8 now in lunar orbit. There's a cheer in this room. This is Apollo Control Houston, switching now to the voice of Jim Lovell.
That fist in the air moment, I mean, it kind of comes up in a number of the songs that you produce, the kind of quality of great human accomplishment that Neil Armstrong summed up in, you know, One Small Step for Man, One Giant Leap for Mankind, and how this space business would kind of unite all people on Earth as one. It feels now when we hear this kind of manipulative, especially when you consider how that promise feels broken. So do you produce these songs with any sense of irony in mind, or do you actually still believe, like, space is the place, to paraphrase Sun Ra?
They are not presented without irony. That some of the Soviet stuff is slightly more sort of nakedly propaganda-ified, if that's a word. The one I can think of that we kind of present as fact on the album is certainly not fact. It's EVA, which is the first spacewalk by Alexei Leonov, and this sort of hugely authoritative voice again is saying, 10 minutes in space, 10 minutes that shook the world. And they make no mention of the fact that he was out there for 20 minutes and nearly died because his suit inflated and it was almost a total disaster.
I'm on the edge of the opening of the airlock chamber. I feel excellent. I see clouds and the sea. I'm beginning to move away.
And for people who kind of know that side of the story, then they'll get that slight irony, I think. But, you know, we like to leave a bit of room for interpretation, a bit of room for the imagination, hence a bit of mystery in some things.
Have you heard from any astronauts since making these songs?
Yeah, it's kind of it's amazing kind of byproduct of it. I managed to meet Gene Cernan.
Right.
He's the last man on the moon, for anyone who doesn't know. And that was, I'm still kind of recovering from that, the shock of that.
What did he say about the music? Had he heard it?
He had heard it, yeah. He'd liked it, I think. We only had a very brief meeting and a kind of handshake and me sort of blurting, it's an honour, I've got to show my dad this picture, etc. But yeah, he seemed like a nice chap.
The fact that you guys are called Public Service Broadcasting, has that caused any confusion since you've been here in the States with PBS, the public broadcasting system?
Everybody calls us PBS everywhere. It happens. Yeah. If they're not confusing us with Pet Shop Boys for PSB, then they're confusing us with PBS. Oh, but we've had like British Broadcasting Service.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one, yeah.
We had one that I shan't repeat because they left the L out. Yeah. It's too long. 7 syllables is too many. If you're starting a band, make it 5 syllables or fewer. That's my advice.
Well, Jay Wilgoose and the ever loquacious Wrigglesworth, otherwise known as Public Service Broadcasting. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, all flight controllers, gotta go for powered descent. Retro, go. Fido.
Over and out. Our theme music is composed by Eric Goldberg from the Nan and Bill Harris Studios here at WGBH in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. Have yourselves a great weekend.
Capcom, we're go for powered descent.
The World is a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH, supported by the PRI Global Reporting Fund, providing in-depth reporting on a diverse array of important topics, including global health. Donors include Marguerite Steed Hoffman and Blythe Brendan Mann Foundation, by the Skoll Foundation, connecting the world's leading social entrepreneurs and innovators to drive solutions to the world's most pressing problems at the Skoll World Forum. Live coverage begins April 15th at skollworldforum.org, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, by the Ford Foundation and the PRI Ambassador Council, whose members include the Rose Family Fund, the Tagney Jones Family Fund, and Roger Hale and Noor Hall, and by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives. GatesFoundation.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.